I'm Coach Woodridge, and I'm reading Chapter 11, The Front Desk Disaster. The incident with the bear had left a feeling of unease among the guests. Mr. Hartwood ordered that no staff were to mention the occurrence, and so Mona kept thoughts of Brumble to herself over the next few weeks while she worked extra hard to prepare for the first snow festival. Everyone was working hard. Mrs. Prickles was already planning out the dishes, including lots of hearty soups and stews and ginger cakes. Cybele was practicing new songs, good ones to dance to, and Mr. Higgins had stacked wood by the hearth, ready for the first fire. Mona had spent hours helping Tilly clean out the walnut shell lanterns and putting new candles inside each one. On the day of the festival, they all, guests and staff, would get to decorate the outside of the tree with the lanterns, hanging them off the branches from the balconies. And then they would light them, just for the night, to welcome the first snow. It was, according even to Tilly, beautiful. "Will I get to see it?" Mona wondered. Mr. Hartwood hadn't mentioned her leaving, not even when he gave her first fernwood farthings. Nor had Mrs. Higgins, but Tilly was always reminding her. When Mona asked her if she could put up a pretty black-and-white picture that Lady Sudsbury wanted to give her in the room, Tilly said, "You can't take gifts from guests. That's a rule. And there's no point in decorating anyway. You won't be here much longer." Mona knew Tilly was right. After all, the fall season ended with the first snow festival, and she was only supposed to stay for the fall. The air grew crisper. More guests arrived. More decorations were hung. And soon the festival was only a day away. It had been a busy morning, and as Mona was passing through the lobby on her way to lunch, Gills asked her to watch the front desk. "I've just had word from the messenger, Jay. The Newtons have canceled," he cried with a tisk and a flick of his tongue. "This will never do. I must tell Mr. Hartwood. Those Newts are some of our oldest guests, and they always book the penthouse for the first snow. Now the suite will sit empty. This is almost worse than a bad review in the Pinecone Press. Now a good review, well, that just might change things." It wasn't the first time Mona had watched the desk. She often did when Gills took sunbasking breaks on sunny days. "You remember where the papers are? Not that anyone is likely to come in, mind. There are no expected check-ins." "Yes," said Mona, straightening her apron. Gills set a stack of books on the chair, and Mona climbed up them and settled on top. When the lizard left, she sighed and gazed over the hearth. The leaf garlands had long been taken down, and now a string of tiny holly berries hung across it. She was imagining the hearth all crackling and cozy when her thoughts were interrupted by a small voice. "Excuse me, a little service, please." Mona looked across the desk but saw no one. She stood up on piles of books and peered over the desk. A large June bug sat back up at her, antennas twitching. She was shiny emerald purple, like an iridescent jewel, and was wearing glittering dark glasses. Four of the bug's six legs were holding tiny suitcases. "Oh, hello," said Mona as politely as she could. She clambered down from the books and hurried around the desk. The bug set down her suitcases. "I must say, it certainly wasn't easy to find this establishment," she huffed. "Oh," said Mona, "I'm sorry to hear that." "There were no maps, no directions." "Not even a sign," the bug went on. "But I suppose security is the purpose." The bug paused and surveyed the lobby. "Of course," agreed Mona, adding, "how can I help you?" "Most obviously, I'm seeking accommodation," said the bug. "I am looking for a room, the most commendable room you can offer. I have come to stay for your festival." "It is a wonderful festival," said Mona enthusiastically. "If you could just wait a moment for our front desk staff." "Are you not the front desk?" The June bug twitched her antennas in displeasure. "Yes, well, of course," said Mona. She thought for a moment. "We do have the penthouse suite available, and it is our grandest room." "Grand? The bug looked a little surprised. "That seems satisfactory. Could I have your name?" The bug paused. "Mrs. J, if you please." "Your full name?" asked Mona. The insect paused again. "That is my full name," she replied decisively. "Oh, okay, well, Mrs. J, I assure you we can make the room fit your needs," Mona smiled. "Extra pillows for the bed and stools and stepladders, so it's easy to reach things." Ah, said Mrs. J, seemed surprising again. Yes, that should be adequate. She opened one of her four suitcases, which was full of fernwood farthings. It will be five, please, said Mona, checking the room feet form to make sure. It was only one farthing for a regular room, but the penthouse was extra expensive. Of course. Mrs. J handed the farthings to Mona, one by one. Then she opened another case and took out a notebook and pen. As Mrs. J jotted something down, Mona climbed up to the desk to prepare the check-in form. She couldn't believe she was booking the penthouse, just after Gills had been so unhappy about the cancellation. He would really be pleased. Maybe he would even tell Mr. Hartwood. Here is your key, said Mona, scampering back down and around the desk to hand it to the bug. The key was almost as big as Mrs. J, but the bug didn't seem to mind. It was on a string, which she looped through the handle of one of her suitcases. The penthouse is on the top floor, said Mona. The dining hall is opened all day. There is a games room and a salon on the second floor. Tomorrow is a big festival. The lantern lighting will take place at dusk and will be followed by a big feast. Yes, yes, said the June bug. And what of your precautions against predators? There was a rumor of a bear. Mona gulped. She knew Mr. Hartwig didn't want anyone talking about it, but she thought the truth was probably best. That was a simple misunderstanding on the part of Brum, off the beat. We all work together here at Hartwood to provide you with the utmost comfort and safety. See? Mona pointed at the sign above the hearth. We live by, protect by, and respect, not by tooth and claw. I shall see about that, said Mrs. J, jotting something else in her notebook. I would prefer a statement that refers specifically to no prejudice against six-legged creatures. But you assure me that there will be no complications during my stay? I've heard of a policy. Mona paused. Hadn't Tilly once said something about six-leggeds and needing to be extra careful since they were so small? Surely that wouldn't be a problem. Everything will be fine, she said. The bug looked at her with her antennas twitching, as though wanting more. I promise, she added. Very well, the bug finally said. The top floor, you say? Yes, to the right. Do you need help with your bags or the key? The June bug declined and put away her notebook. Then she picked up her suitcases and, to Mona's surprise, began to fly. Weighted by her suitcases and the key, the bug was a little wobbly, but she soon disappeared up the stairs with the key dangling down. Mona watched proudly and then made a note to send up pillows and stepladders. Is that a bug I see heading upstairs? Cried Gills, arriving back at the desk a second later. Yes, said Mona. Her name is Mrs. J. She just booked the penthouse. An insect? Cried Gills. You booked an insect? Gills' tongue flashed in and out furiously. Don't you know anything? There are no bugs at the Hartwood. And that's when Mona remembered that Tilly had never actually said what the rule was about six-leggeds. Mona had just assumed the rule was to be extra careful not to step on them. Not that bugs weren't allowed in the hotel at all. Then immediately she remembered Mrs. J's concern regarding complications. Had Mrs. J known what the rule was about? But I don't understand. I told her there would be no problem. I promised. You promised? That does it, cried Gills. We can't ask her to leave. That would cause too much of a fuss. Oh, Mr. Hartwood is going to be furious. But, stammered Mona. She still didn't understand. Should I do anything? You've done enough already, said Gills, shaking his head and sighing deeply. Just go. Mona stumbled away from the desk toward the stairs, not knowing where exactly she should go. Maybe the kitchen. Maybe Mrs. Prickles would make her feel better. But in the kitchen, instead of Mrs. Prickles, she found Tilly munching some nuts. What's the matter with you? Said Tilly. Mona told her in halting words. Tilly's eyes flashed. You broke another rule? I was only trying to help, to treat a guest with respect, like the sign says. Help? You're going to be in heaps of trouble. Heaps. But you'll be fired for sure, Tilly smirked. If I were you, I'd leave now. Tears prickled down Tears prickled Mona's eyes as Tilly kept going, but Mona wasn't listening anymore. She was trying not to cry. She didn't want to. Not in front of Tilly. She never thought she would be fired. She thought she had been doing the right thing. But Gills was so upset. Tilly was probably right. Mr. Hartwood was nice, but he did have his rules, and he could get really mad. She remembered how he was when Brumble had been there not so long ago. But she was mad, too. Mad at Tilly. Maybe if Tilly hadn't always been so short with her, she would know the rules and the reasons for them. "I know you've never liked me," she burst, "though I don't know why. I've always tried to do my best. We could have been friends, but you don't want any friends. Miss Prickle said you have hurts, but all I think is that you like hurting others. You're always trying to get me in trouble. Well, I hope you're happy, because now you have." Tilly was speechless. Mona didn't wait for Tilly to respond. She took off her apron and threw it down hard on the kitchen table. Her mind was a rush of emotions, and her paws rushed too, downstairs. Mona had to leave anyway. Why not now? Before Mr. Hartwood could fire her. And so, whiskers trembling, she put the farthing she earned in her pocket and collected her suitcase. Clutching it tightly, she returned to the kitchen. Tilly was thankfully no longer there. She stuffed the case full of seed cakes and a jar of honey. Then, though her heart told her not to, Mona the Mouse left the Hartwood Hotel.